Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Konstantin Melnikov is a maverick figure in the history of Soviet architecture, best known perhaps for his series of avant-garde garages and workers' clubs. His most significant building was the house he built for himself in 1929. Set just off the main tourist street in Moscow, it's a building both modernist and classical, consisting of two interlocking cylinders and pierced with some 60 windows. Exceptionally for the Soviet Union, as well as modern Russia, it remained in the possession of the Melnikov family for decades until in 2014, after much legal wrangling, it was taken over by the Moscow Museum of Architecture. Monocle's Alexei Korolev brings us this tall story.
Konstantin Melnikov never fit in with the Soviet system. A defiant individualist, an orthodox believer, and a homeowner in the age of collective living, how could he? As a result, his career, like the Russian revolutionary avant-garde movement as a whole, was extremely short-lived. By the end of the 1930s, as radical architectural modernism gave way to Stalinist monumentalism, Melnikov had become irrelevant.
He was banned from the practice of his profession and had to eke out an existence as a stovemaker.
That's Melnikov's granddaughter, Yekaterina Karinskaya. We'll hear more from her later. Despite being ostracized and condemned to penury, Melnikov was untouched by the Stalinist purges. Some say this was because of his role in designing the Lenin mausoleum on Red Square. But without a proper job, he struggled to maintain his family home. Even so, it outlasted both Melnikov and the regime that stamped out his genius.
There are many buildings around us. You see them, you go away, you forget about them, right? But not about this house. Believe me, whether you like it or not, you will never forget the forms, you will never forget the image.
This is Pavel Kuznetsov, director of the Melnikov House Museum.
Basically you are inside the museum already, because only this IKEA hanger and these chairs and these rugs are from us. But the rest? In 1972, when Cartier-Bresson visited this place and made a sort of photo session here, we have few prints signed by Bresson. And more or less, you see, it's even on the background, everything is the same. You know, try to keep things basically untouched.
Melnikov himself, he had a tragic life, didn't he? Because he fell out with the authorities and then...
Yes, it's time, it's time to say a few words about it, because in the 20s, his career was really up, skyrocket, right? This period was really short. Actually, it ended at the beginning of 30s already. Till, let's say, 60s. Because he was not rehabilitated after Stalin's death, as many. And only a resignation of Khrushchev in 64. In 65, he was rehabilitated. And last 10 years of his life, he enjoyed public acceptance and pilgrims, like you. Came here from Russia, from abroad. It was a place full of legends and myths about old men from the 20s who lived here, a very... separate from other world. You are in the heart of Moscow, in the center of capital of socialist country. I mean, speaking about 20th century. But you are alone here. And this house was, even in Soviet realities, in realities of Soviet economy, it was some unusual beast. It was considered by neighbors and by local authorities also. Not like a normal house, but some unknown flying object.
И вот это я на самокате в 49-м году в очках с ранцем. Это вообще...
Екатерина Каринская was born and raised at the family home and remembers this special atmosphere well.
Там комнатах по несколько человек. И это мне очень...
Just imagine. I lived in a mansion at that time when entire families had to live in small cramped rooms. That was difficult for me. I really wanted to be like everybody else, but then I quickly realized how lucky I was.
Yekaterina continued to live in the house intermittently until 2014. That year, following a long legal battle over its status, she was forcefully evicted by the Moscow Museum of Architecture. That was the last straw that killed the spirit of the place, she says.
И когда произошел этот захват дома, и в него пришли оккупанты из шедевра мировой архитектуры.
When these occupants came, they turned the house from an architectural masterpiece into a mass-market product. This house had incredible energy, a life of its own. Today, it's like a dead person. I'm not allowed inside anymore, but whenever I pass it, I feel like it stands in a graveyard.
Безумно жалко.
The Melnikov House story highlights a wider problem in Moscow. Why is it that some historic buildings are saved, while others, including some of Melnikov's own, are left to rot? I put this question to Pavel Kuznetsov.
Yes, this is true, and we should understand that this architecture, not everything might be a museum like this house. Not everything might be preserved with the same accuracy, with the same details as previously. For architecture, and it's not a story not only about Melnikov, but about all Soviet avant-garde, it's a matter of survival of these buildings, their adaptation to current life, to nowadays needs. Of course, it will be more, in many cases, it would be a reconstruction. But it's possible. In our case, with this house, our situation is much easier. The work done by architect for us. We don't plan to make any cosmetic surgery, but we need to check periodically the health of this building to identify potential dangers, risks, and to prevent them.
For Monocle in Moscow, I'm Alexei Korolev.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Alexei Korolev for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.